I'm curious to know by a show of hands how many people here and online have experienced harm or hurt from the church or from a Christian. Raise your hand. I'm so sorry that was your experience. That was many of us, if you didn't see. And it makes our passage today lethal, because some of the verses that you just heard Dave read might have been some of those that caused that harm. Our purpose today started with some Zion women who are eager to learn how to recognize the Spirit's voice. And before we can get there, we need to deal with some walls that we've created to keep the Holy Spirit out. It's a bit like if I told you that underneath the slide on the playground, there is buried $1 million. Some of us are ready to go out right now and start digging, because we've been told a lie that money will bring us happiness. For the record, the only thing under the slide are dirt and rocks. Deep down, we know that money does not fill our tank. It leaves our gauge pointing on E. But part of the problem is we don't really want the Holy Spirit either. We've got some baggage about the Spirit. We want certainty instead of mystery. So we hold on tightly to the bits and the pieces that we can control, and we lose out on the security that we long for. Here's another reason why we resist the Spirit. Integrity. Now, that may seem surprising. Here's what I mean. Somewhere along the way, my guess is that someone has said to many of us, God said, fill in the blank, XYZ, God said something, and you know very well that it's not true and that God would not say that. And so understandably, we don't want to make that same mistake, so we wall off the Spirit. It's a strange sort of integrity and compassion, and we think it's in everybody's best interest. There's another big reason why we keep slathering mortar onto our wall of bricks. Fear. For many of us, we think the Holy Spirit is going to tell us something that we don't want to hear, as though the voice of the Spirit is like the shouting match and the put-downs this week between Al Green and Mark Wayne Mullen. At the bottom of all our insecurities, fears, and anything else that keeps us holding a keep-out sign for the Holy Spirit, my hunch is that at the root of it, God has not satisfied us. Maybe we've tried what God offered and we came up empty-handed. Maybe there are key questions that God has not answered. Maybe we longed for God to do something in our lives or those we love, and God somehow came up lacking. How is it that some people have these grand experiences of God and the Spirit and some of us don't? And the church has caused harm not only by speaking in error on behalf of the Spirit or by speaking belittlingly or with platitudes. The church has caused harm because we've barely spoken about the Spirit. So think about this with me. Since Jesus poured out the Spirit on all people, doesn't that mean that all people need the Holy Spirit? The verses say, your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, the Spirit is poured out. One of the roles of the Spirit is to point us to Jesus. So if the church has failed us in showing us our need for the Spirit, no wonder God has not satisfied us. We thought the Holy Spirit was optional, an add-on, something we could skimp on. To be people of deeper integrity, we get to keep growing in learning how to honor and listen for recognizing the Spirit's voice, and the Spirit equips us to do so. And we already have some skills and experiences to help us listen to the Spirit. Kevin would say, listen in community. And Joy would say, listen with your Bible open so that it trains your ear. And Hannah would say, listen while you're praying. And someone else might say, make space to listen. Here's some other starting points. Learn amidst our busy, chaotic world how to quiet your mind. You could listen to music or color, or some of you are excellent writers. When I was first learning to hear God's voice, I'd go sit on the couch and my mind would start spinning in all kinds of directions over worries and things I needed to do. And I learned to bring my attention back to listening by turning over those thoughts in prayer until my thoughts settled and I could stay in a place of listening. It's a habit, it's a practice. For some of you, sitting still is a challenge. So allow yourself to go on a walk, a listening walk, and practice being open to what the Spirit might want to say. Another starting point, expect to hear a call to small obedience to Jesus' teaching. Thank you, Marge. Yes, you're right on point. When you are nudged, follow. These practice steps build not just our faith, but also our understanding of how the Spirit speaks. I also invite you to pay attention to the images, the words, and even the verses that bubble up as you pray. Those are likely not distractions. As one theologian says, start your day by telling God you are available. Keep checking in throughout the day and fall asleep at night, praying and listening to God. All of this tunes our ears. So then, how do we know the Spirit's voice? The main test based on this passage and on Scripture is, does it sound like Jesus in Scripture? A role of the Holy Spirit is to point us to Jesus. The Spirit will not lead us in a direction that does not sound like Jesus. So we're going to practice. Kevin, if you'll advance the slide for me. Somebody join me in reading this out loud. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Does that sound like Jesus? Yes. Next slide, please. Believe in yourself and you can do anything. I see lots of smiles and laughter. Does that sound like Jesus? I hope some alarm bells are going off for us. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but do not fear, take courage. I have overcome the world. Next slide, please. Oh, and I think we missed one. Can we go back? I think there was a second one. There we go. God will never give you more than you can handle. Does that sound like Jesus? I hope not, right? Okay, well, go to the last slide, or slide number 4. Love your neighbor as yourself. Does that sound like Jesus? Yes, this is a little too obvious. And you can advance to the next slide. There's another complexity with testing out whether something sounds like Jesus. See, we misunderstand John, the author of this passage, who was saying, in essence, every spirit that ignores Jesus is not of God. But we twist that into saying, if your Jesus does not look and sound like my Jesus, then I'm right and you're wrong, and therefore you're not of God. But Zion, we have been learning for years now that Jesus is vast enough to be holy and to proclaim the good news, to evangelize, and to declare his calling to social justice. All of those. So here's an example. Back in December, the women from Zion's two Bible studies came to me and said, "We want to hear more about the Spirit. Let's do a sermon series about the Holy Spirit." And so I listened to their hopes and their ideas. They gave shape to the sermon series that we're in. And they told me about a book that they just finished studying together. They told me the story about how one of the Bible study groups had gotten a week ahead of the other Bible study group. And when the group that was ahead got to a particular chapter of the book that they were studying, they got all excited and fired up about the Spirit. And then the next week, the next group got to that same chapter, and they had this profound, rich experience with the Spirit as well. And I thought, well, I've got to go read this book. So I've been reading this book. I'm almost the whole way through. I did read the chapter that the women's Bible study read. I was open-handed. I was expectant. Guess what happened? Nothing. Nothing happened. Now, I don't think that diminishes anything that happened in the women's Bible study. I don't think they heard incorrectly. I could have heard incorrectly. I could have missed it. That's possible. For the sake of this analogy, this example, I was open-handed. I was listening. I was expecting to hear something, and it didn't happen. John said, "Test the spirits." John didn't say, "Also belittle people who believe differently than you do." So I've got to show you what he says next in context. If you'll go to the next slide. Here's what John says right before our passage in chapter 3, verse 11. Somebody read this out loud with me, please. "For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another." Okay, let's look at what John says right after our passage. Next slide. Chapter 4, verse 7. "Dear friends, let us love one another." It's the same idea, right? Love one another. So since James is telling us to test the spirits, and also since testing the spirits is surrounded before and after in the text by this idea of loving one another, what does that tell us about how we treat someone who, based on our discernment, is not speaking on behalf of the Spirit? James is saying, test the spirits and be loving about it. A second way to test if something is from the Spirit, beyond whether it sounds like Jesus, is, does it sound like me? I don't mean me, I mean yourself. You want that answer to be no. Oftentimes for me, when I'm being nudged by the Spirit about something, the message contains something I could not have known otherwise. For example, I'll get a persistent nudge to call or text someone and say, "Hey, go look at this verse. I don't know what that means, but God keeps bringing it to mind for you." And as the Spirit would have it, there is some deep connection with the verse for that person beyond what I knew about. Or there will be a fully formed thought that lands in our brains without a thought process that unlocks some sort of mystery that we've been puzzling over. I want to go back to our thoughts about love and close with a challenge and a story from John's gospel. And you can advance to the next slide, Kevin. John 21. This is after Jesus' resurrection. The disciples have gone out to fish, and they have caught nothing all night. A man on the shore calls out, "Cast your nets on the other side." They do so, and 153 fish, yes, somebody counted, they dive for the net. Here's what I want you to hear. The disciple who recognized Jesus on the shore was the one who knew that Jesus loved him. The disciple who recognized Jesus was the one who knew that Jesus loved him. What if our capacity to recognize God at work is linked to how well we know we are loved? Here it is, John, the same author as our passage today, and Jesus is saying, "Come, have breakfast." Together on the shore, they have this mini communion moment. I believe that the Spirit is pointing to Jesus today so that someone here recognizes, oh, you are loved. If God has not satisfied you, we do not need to try harder or do better. God is searching us out. We get to discover that God is good, and God heals the hurt that we experienced and thereby prevents the church from doing more of it. We are a church family that cares deeply for one another, and our invitation this summer is to go beyond caring for one another to loving each other as brothers and as sisters. So an idea has been brewing that we are beginning today. It's called Summer of Hospitality. The challenge is for every person here and online to invite someone from Zion into your home by August 31, especially if it's someone who hasn't been in your home before. You can decide whether you have them over for a meal or dessert, or maybe you're going to do a breakfast of fish and bread like Jesus on the shore. It's your choice. I will add, hospitality is a struggle for me, and I am doing this together with you. We're all doing this together. Listen, we have a dog that still jumps on people, and that says more about my ability or inability to train our dog. If you need to take somebody out to eat instead of sharing a meal in your home, go for it. You have flexibility and options in this. The main point is you've heard me say that people here are longing for friendship. So I want us to combine two things that we do really well. We do food really well here. Pancake breakfast, fellowship meals. We have a fellowship meal next week. Meal train for one another. And we care for one another really well. Last week before Sunday school, I was walking through the hallway, and everybody was engaged in conversation together and enjoying the fellowship. So let's combine those two and invite somebody over and maybe make a new friend. I was impacted this week when I looked at the meal sign-up for Laurie Weaver. And one of the people who signed up to bring a meal just had a baby in the past month. It was the disciple of Jesus who knew that he was loved, who recognized Jesus standing on the shore. What if inviting someone over lets them experience God's love? What might happen in our lives? We get to be part of creating a church where instead of causing harm, we prevent it. The Spirit is still pointing to Jesus. And what Jesus is announcing is that we are loved. May the Spirit lead us in this new life together. Amen.